Lesson number 10, Living Together Harmoniously. In his exhortation to the believers in Thessalonica, the apostle covered several areas of Christian teaching, both prophetic and doctrinal, and has focused his appeals upon the idea of the second coming of Christ. As in all his epistles, and in fact the entire scriptures, the question now is, so what? And the answer invariably is another question. What kind of persons ought we to be in our day-to-day personal lives in view of these teachings? Part number one, a faith that works through love. Within the framework of patient waiting to see Jesus, in spite of persecutions and tribulations, the believers must develop a faith that works. And this conduct will result in the sounding out of the Word of God into regions beyond the narrow circle of the Christians' lives. Realizing the troubles through which the Thessalonians were passing, the apostle dispatched Timothy to find out how they were progressing spiritually, lest the tempter should devise some way to negate their growth and his labor in their behalf proved to be in vain. Part number two, the goal of peace. In the fourth chapter, Paul calls attention to the special temptations which assailed the Thessalonians and all Christians in their progress in sanctification. They must abstain from fornication. The apostle's use of this term includes every form of sexual misconduct. His next arena of warning covers business relationships. The Christian must not overreach or defraud his brethren. All relationships must be driven by brotherly love. In every age, Satan has found persons whom he could overcome by sexual sins. Paul warned the Thessalonians, and he warns us today, that in the area of sexuality, we must be made masters through the grace of Jesus Christ. When Jesus warned of the last days, he remembered the sexual activities in marrying and giving in marriage of the people who lived before the flood. So shall it be when the second coming of Christ is. Now, before they were in the flood, they were building houses, they were increasing their lands, they were going into their business activities. And so Paul says, in the last days, bring all your business relationships under the domination of the Holy Spirit. So in our inner private sexual lives and our outer business activities, Jesus Christ must pervade, rule, and subdue. In his salutation to the believers at the commencement of the epistle, in fact, of almost all his epistles, Paul prays that the grace of God might bring about peace in the lives of believers. Grace is the divine empowering which enables the Christian to fulfill what God wants him to be and do. This is clearly taught in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. This divine empowering to fulfill intrinsic function is a free, undeserved gift. Peace. Irene, the basis of the English name Irene, like shalom in Hebrew, embraces a condition in the life in which all tensions are resolved and harmony results, within and without the disciple. If a person is not well in body or mind, he does not have peace physically. He needs healing. The same is true in the spiritual realm. God's grace will enable the growing believer to attain this peace in spite of the external circumstances. God is the maker of peace, while Satan is the author of confusion. With this simple principle, we should examine our lives and take the appropriate steps in developing genuine love toward each other. As we think of our personal relationships, in our families, in our business, in our church, in our community, in our relatives, is there peace? Is there love? We should so examine our lives so as to focus on areas into which we should invite the power, the transforming grace of the Lord. So that in these specific areas, where now we have gnawing guilt or gnawing rage or internal resentment, say, Lord, give me the peace which passes understanding. God is the maker of peace. Satan is the author of confusion. Let's never forget that. We should take steps to surrender to God. We should take steps to come face to face so that we can resist the devil in the power of the faith that we have of Jesus. Love is the divine principle which makes and maintains ideal relationships and will make them in spite of our lack of peace, in spite of our hostility, in spite of circumstances. The apostle urges his readers to allow the grace of God to develop their love, God's love, in their hearts. Part 3. Pathways to Peace. Paul gave the Thessalonian believers 3 basic steps in Christian living. They apply with equal force to us. First, study or endeavor to make it your ambition to be quiet or calm at all times. We must make a conscious effort to attain this state of self-examination and prayer. 2. Concentrate on doing our own business. Cease from meddling in the personal affairs of others. Don't interfere with them as busybodies. 3. We should do our own work, earn our own living, with our own hands support ourselves and our families. This, together with the others, will bring peace. From the time God ordered our first parents to work in the garden, there has been no shame attached to honest toil. In fact, it is a divine requirement, part of the 4th commandment. 6 days of faithful labor should precede the Sabbath rest. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the person who chooses not to work should not eat. But the cultivation of diligence will make the disciple a good citizen in the eyes of non-Christians. It will also supply him with the necessities of life so that he will lack nothing. Part number 4, the need of self-control. Paul urged the Thessalonians to try not to pay back a wrong turn done them with another wrong turn. They were not to retaliate verbally or physically. The taking of vengeance is the normal response to the human heart that is carnal. The Christian must pray for a new heart. As he reviews the reactions of Jesus to all the assaults Satan made against him, he will not only see before him the ideal he must reach, but will receive power to attain to it. The appreciation of his own forgiveness by Christ will neutralize his desire for vengeance. The apostle emphasized another important point. In their daily relationships, the believers must avoid every appearance of evil. Their actions might be perfectly justified, but if the impression left be interpreted as evil, they should avoid them. This does not mean peace at any price. The believer owes his first allegiance to his Savior. he must maintain a right relationship with him and his teaching and his church, whatever it costs in opposition and rage on the part of relatives and associates. Part number 5, Models of Church Order and Harmony. The Bible holds up the ideal family as the classic model of the relationships which should exist in the church, or the organized body of God's people. The believers have one father, one elder brother, one unifying spirit. They are children, siblings, in the same family, and heirs of the same resources. In the Thessalonian epistles, Paul appeals to this brother-sister relationship no fewer than 26 times. In his exhortation to the Christian believers, the apostle also linked the church to the human body. Just as it has many members, large and small, some appearing to be more important than others, each interdependent on all, so the Church of God has many members. They are interlocked and interdependent. In their moment-by-moment living, they form one system, regulated by one Lord and Master. Everything should be carried forward decently and in order. Decently means with propriety, in a proper manner, not crudely, vulgarly, haphazardly, but in an organized way. Order is heaven's first law, and should be in our families and churches. This week, we have stressed the need for the Christian to be living in harmony, in unity and patience, as he anticipates the second coming of Christ.